So good morning. Just to introduce myself, I am Pete Gardner, Anna's husband. And this morning I'm going to be talking to you about the feeding of the 5,000. I'd like to start just by reading a poem by the comedian George Carlin. Quality, style, value, service, selection, convenience, economy, savings, performance, experience, hospitality, low rates, friendly prices, name brands, easy terms, affordable affordable prices, money back guarantee, free installation, free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trial, and free parking. No cash, no problem. No kidding, no fuss, no muss, no risk, no obligations. No red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden charges, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments or interest till September, and no parking. Limited time only, though. So act now, order today, send no money, offer good while supplies last, each item sold separately, batteries not included, mileage may vary, all sales are final, allow 6 weeks for delivery. Some items not available, some assembly required, some restrictions may apply. So come on in. Come on in and have a free demonstration with our free, friendly, and professional staff. Our experienced and knowledgeable sales representatives will help you make a selection which is just right for you and just right for your budget. And say, don't forget your free kit, your free gift. A classic, deluxe, custom, designer, luxury, prestige, high-quality, premium, select, gourmet, pocket, pencil sharpener. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. It's our way of saying thank you. We all know that we live in a consumerist society. As a society, we aim for and desire and push for, create and hope for more and more things. But what's going on within us when we act in a consumerist way? The sociologist Colin Campbell says this: the idea that contemporary consumers have an insatiable desire to acquire objects represents a serious misunderstanding in the way in the mechanism which impels people to want goods. Their basic motivation is the desire to experience in reality the pleasure dramas which they have already enjoyed in their imagination. And each new product is seen as offering the possibility of realizing this ambition. However, reality can never provide the perfected pleasures encountered in daydreams. In other words, what we imagine enjoying impacts the physical choices we make. What we daydream about matters. What we adjust our mental lenses to focus on, which we think will make us feel secure and happy and fulfilled and even whole, matters and impacts our behavior. Of course, this also impacts what kind of identity we try to project into the world. The clothes we wear, our hairstyles, our food, the cars we drive, having a good coffee machine. We perform ourselves through what we own and use. I love different teas, that's part of who I am. Sorry?
Your water.
Oh, thanks. Sorry. thank you very much. We perform ourselves through what we own and use. I love different teas. And that's part of my identity, I guess. But how will anyone know that I love teas and I'm into teas if all I have in the cupboard is a big bag of Yorkshire Gold? I'd say Ceylon, Assam, maybe an Earl Grey, a Lady Grey, a Darjeeling, one or two green teas, one or two white teas, obviously a peppermint, rooibos fruit teas, that would do. But what if somebody comes round who's also a tea enthusiast? So the things that you daydream about or desire really matter. So what things do you think about and desire and daydream of? What do you need or feel you need? What do you wish that Jesus could multiply like the loaves and fishes? There are two things really I want to get across this morning. Firstly, it's just the simple fact that God provides. But secondly, I'd like to ask a question. What do you want God to provide? Or what do you want Jesus to multiply? Seeing the mass of 5,000 hungry people, Jesus turns to Philip and asks him the question, where are we going to buy enough bread for these people to eat? From Philip's answer, we can deduct that he was probably one of the more practically minded apostles. He provides the economically rational answer, X plus Y equals Z, or rather X plus Y does not equal Z. He replies, 200 denarii would not even buy enough bread for them to get a little. This was some reasonably fast mathematics. I had a little look online as to how much bread you would buy for a denarius at the time. And from what I could find on Google, apparently a quarter of a denarius would buy you a loaf of bread. And by loaf of bread, I think they usually mean the loaves that you used to see in Sunday school books about this size. So if a quarter of a denarii would buy one loaf of bread, 200 denarii, which was really quite a considerable amount of money, someone online said it would be equivalent to about £13,500. The accuracy of that is debatable, probably. But 200 denarii would probably have bought you about 800 loaves. So 5,000 people with 800 loaves means that each person gets, according to my calculation, about 16% of one of these loaves. But I actually like to think that Philip's exact words were something a little more down the lines of 200 denarii would not buy enough bread even for them to get a quarter, so 4 times 200, 5,000 over 800, a little. The point is, Philip was replying that it's not economically feasible. I don't know about you, but I've often wondered what came next looked like. The part between Jesus getting the loaves and fish and ending up with basket after basket full of fish and bread. We're told that Jesus distributed them, but did he hand them out from a seemingly never-ending bag? Did he tear parts off the bread and fish and a large enough quantity always was left behind for the next person? Was it like the moment when Jesus told the disciples to cast the net over the other side of the boat, having fished all night to no avail, only to catch it, so much fish that it almost sank their boat? Or was it like the widow of Zarephath in the first book of Kings, where under Elijah's blessing, no matter how much oil and flour she used, there was always enough for another loaf of bread when she came back to it? I guess we don't know exactly the detail of what happened or what it looked like. However, it clearly defined the laws of physics, economics, and home cookery. Maybe this morning you're feeling like your economic concerns are quite consumerist. Maybe you have ownership daydreams and personal wants, or maybe you just desire to buy things which meet some social requirement. Maybe you're more worried about where the next meal's coming from or how to pay the next bill or rent. There are no easy answers to these questions. Oftentimes there are as many answers as there are people and solutions as problems. Perhaps you have real economic needs and you need to ask God for provision for that this morning. But as a church, we need also to take seriously Jesus' question to Philip. Where are we going to buy enough bread for these people to eat? We. As obvious as it is, this miracle needed an outward focus, an outward action. In the face of limited resources, Jesus gives thanks for what they have and distributes it, and the little that they have is multiplied. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? And he goes on to say, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus' message here is pretty simple. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, make this the principal focus of your desire, and allow God to provide for the rest. I don't know about you, but despite feeling that this is the approach to life that I want to take, I can't help but feeling stressed over the practicalities of it. Maybe I'm just disproportionately neurotic, but I want to see this utopian ideal exemplified. I think that Jesus feeding the 5,000 is a literal physical exemplification of his teaching in Matthew 6. The comedian David Mitchell made the following remark about feeding the 5,000. Out of 5,000 people, only two, okay, he actually gets it wrong here, it's only one, but only two of them had thought to bring any food. So in a way, it's okay, good miracle, but the other side of it is 4,998 idiots with no sense of foresight at all, and Jesus doesn't make them learn a lesson from that. It's all fine, but you know, he could have said, you didn't bring any food? Think about it. Of course there's not going to be any food. Plan next time. Judea would be better if people planned. But no, yeah, no, it always works out fine. Jesus will magic up some grub. But this is exactly the unbelievably simple yet socially revolutionary point. The people followed Jesus to the point where they ran out of food. They sought after him despite their physical lack. The point is this, I guess. Seek first your dinner and you'll get your dinner. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus asks Philip, where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat? This acts as a reminder to us that the direction of our economic desires ought to be, at least in part, and to some extent, outward focused, towards those around us. The people followed Jesus despite having run out of food, and their needs were miraculously met. This acts as a reminder to us that above and before our economic desires and needs, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and trust in his provision for us. We need to trust that God will provide for us. But what do you want Jesus to multiply? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the many things that you have provided us with. Teach us to readjust our focus from our desires and consumerist daydreams to the needs of others, financially, materially, and even for food. Multiply our desire for such provision and multiply our meager contributions. Turn our consumerist daydreams into ones about your provision for the hungry crowd. Amen.